Now, the next issue we need to discuss is title and those issues that surround the title of the property in the prelim. The first thing it talks about is that the seller will provide the buyer a copy of the prelim. Now, prelims, boy, I can tell you, I've had so many lawsuits around the prelim issue. So let me do some basic training, if you will, about prelims to make sure you understand. First thing, the prelim is talking about who owns the property and are there any liens or issues that affect the title. The first thing you should do as a listing agent is look at the prelim. It's amazing to me how often agents don't look at the prelim. I was in my own office, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but at a sales meeting the other day, one of our salespeople was talking about how stupid everything is, da-da-da-da-da, and we finally found out what her issue was, that she got to close of escrow, and it turned out that the prelim showed that there was an additional owner on title. Not only the person that had signed the listing and had signed the sale, but somebody else was on title, and she was all upset about that. You know, I wanted to scream at her during the meeting, why didn't you look at the prelim? Because the prelim in Schedule A shows who owns the property. So you should always look there when you get your prelim. And of course, you get a prelim the minute you open escrow. Now, if you're in a county that doesn't allow that, you should probably try to work out something with your escrow and title company so that you get a copy, because if you don't know who owns the property, you don't even know whether they have a legal right to be selling it or whether there's someone else on title that has to approve the property. And maybe, I guess a common one is in divorce. Somebody has been living in the property for 10 years, but their ex-husband's still on title. I think a common one also is that, you know, mom and dad have owned this property for 60 years. Dad passed away 10 years ago. If you look at title, it shows that dad's still on title. So we get ready to close escrow. And then mom has to rush around and find certified death certificates and all kinds of other issues. So deal with that issue up front. Look at the prelim, find out who owns the property, and make sure they're the right person signing the contracts. The contract also goes on and says, which is a new addition of the contract that never said before, is that the seller has 3 business days to provide what's called a statement of information. I used to call it statement of identity. That's that form that title sends out to make sure that you are who you say you are. And if there's any liens out there with that person's name on them, they may or may not apply to you. I just had a client recently that had what I think is a fairly unusual name, Russell Thomas. Obviously, it's not very strange, but it's still pretty uncommon. And there were 3 or 4 liens that showed up on the prelim. And it turns out, luckily, I had done a statement of information identity up front. The title company cleaned that up within 3 or 4 days because we had that done. So don't wait on that. In fact, it's a contract requirement now. So you must do it. The next thing I want to talk about is making sure you understand what the prelim actually is. Number one, people think that it is a document. Yes, it is a document, but it's not full of information. In fact, all the prelim is an index. It's an index of all the documents the title company has down at the title company in what's called the title plant. You've heard that phrase, title plant. Now, what does that mean? That means that you get this form, and it has number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and it goes all the way through 16. And it has liens, and it has easements, and it has these things. The problem is, most of us can't understand all of those. I have looked at many, many prelims, and I don't know what they mean. And so I don't know what number 2, 4, 12, and 14 are. And so what I should do if that's the case is say, you know, I don't know what those means, and I should call the title officer, not the title escrow person, if they're doing escrow. But if you're in an escrow county, you should call the title officer. Right on the front of your prelim is somebody called title officer with a phone number. And what you want to say is, I want you to order number 2, 4, 6, 18, and 14, because I don't know what they mean. Let me tell you another great war story. I was managing real estate office, and an agent came to me and said, Guy, there's something on the prelim I don't understand. It says the Santa Clara County Fire District easement, blah, 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 on page whatever, you know. The point is, I didn't know what that meant. The agent didn't know what it meant. He says, what should I do? I said, let's find out. So what we did is we ordered the backup documents, and there were about 14 pages, not just 3 lines. And it said that this property had an easement from the Santa Clara County Fire District, and it was in the kind of like a rural area of Santa Clara County up Northern California. And that allowed the fire district to park vehicles on that easement. Now you can imagine if this client had bought this property, and they're looking out the window doing the dishes in the kitchen, and here comes the fire trucks and the bulldozers and whatever knocking down fences. And, you know, you can imagine how terrible that was. Well, it turns out that luckily this agent did this investigation up front before they put the property on the market. We were able to contact the fire district and found out that they no longer used that staging area, if you will. They had actually built a building like a mile and a half away that now was a covered building, and so they didn't need that. So it took us a while, but we got that taken off the prelim because the easement went away, and the fire district deeded that easement back to the client. So it's critical that you read this. Now, some people are going to tell you the agent isn't qualified to read it. I agree with that. But you are sure qualified to know what you don't know you don't know. The spot issues on the prelim that don't look right to you or something you don't understand, and it's easy enough for you to call Title and ask them to send you backup copies. And then if you get them and don't understand, then that's when you should go for help. You should call your attorney. You should call somebody that knows what it means. Let me give you another story. I was working for a developer, and he was building some property in Phoenix. Actually, I think it might be Gilbert, one of the suburbs of Phoenix. Now, when we got the prelim on this property, we saw an issue that might be a problem. Now, I didn't tell you, but this property was a 20-acre commercial property that had been designed for, I don't know how many units. Office condos were being built and sold. Now, the issue was that the Maricopa County Water District, which bordered our property, had an easement. And it also had a right of something. I forget what the word was. It was a word I was not familiar with. And so we ordered those backup documents, and when you read it, the Maricopa County Water District had the right to take over an additional, I think it was 10 or 12 feet of our property. Well, we contacted them, and they said, yes, in fact, we're going to go forward with that. We're waiting for some kind of bond issue or whatever. Well, the problem with that is when you have a total plan, if you will, that's been approved by the city, and you lose 10 feet of it, you have to totally redesign your unit. Not because of the units, because they were fine, but around the perimeter of this complex was where the parking was. So we lost X number of parking places, which required the total whole plans to be redrawn. And we lost, I don't know how many units. The point is, the damages to the builder was over $400,000. The county was willing to pay for, you know, X number of inches of property. And of course, they wanted to offer like $20,000 for that. So you can see that turned into a lawsuit. But luckily, we caught that before it got terribly long. But wouldn't it have been better if they'd look at that prelim before they bought the property? Unfortunately, that didn't get done. You need to be looking at the prelim just as early in the transaction as you possibly can. The other issue that comes up is the map. You know how on residential property, the last page of your prelim is this map of your property? You know, it's postage stamp size, maybe even smaller. Did you know you can call Title and they will send you a copy of the map that's a whole page, just your property? Because when you're talking about easements, especially, that you got an easement here or an easement there or whatever, you don't even know where it is because you can't see it unless you've got a magnifying glass. So I would suggest you always order a map and have it color-coded. Did you know you could also have Title ask you to color-code it? In other words, you've got four easements on this property, but you don't know which ones are which. They will basically put this in this color, this in this color, this in this color. The other thing I don't think most agents know is that the title officer is available to your clients. If you have a very complex issue, then you should call them and say, I'm having a problem understanding these easements, ingress and egress out of the property or whatever the easement issue is, and then have the title officer sit down with your clients and explain it. The other thing you should look for on a prelim, especially if it's a short sale, is liens. It's very, very common that there's more liens on the property than the property's worth. Then the seller becomes, how is this going to ever close unless the seller comes up with extra money or you have to go to the bank and do a short sale? Another common one is IRS liens. I've had many transactions where, you know, the client didn't tell me anything and we get the prelim and he owes the IRS $100,000. And the point is, IRS isn't going to take that lien off unless something is dealt with prior to close of escrow. Another question it raises around title is, how is your client's going to take title of the property? Is it going to be fee simple? Is it going to be as community property, a husband and wife, or whatever? So title is going to be asking, or escrow is going to be asking the clients when they sign off, how do they want to take title? And if that hasn't been raised, they're not going to know what to do. Now, you can't expect your escrow officer signing them off to be giving legal advice, so you need to discuss that with your clients, especially if it's kind of an unusual situation, because how you take title has significant legal and tax consequences, and you need to be concerned about that. The next issue around title, I think, is something that we don't pay a whole lot of attention to. The contract says that the buyer shall receive a CLTA or ALTA homeowner's policy. Well, you know, there's more than one kind of homeowner's policy. There's an extended policy, and every company has a little bit of different tweaky name for what they call it, and each one of them is slightly different. So the contract is saying that the buyer is going to get this at close of escrow. The problem is that's not necessarily the truth. In fact, if it's a rural property, or mountains, or even hillsides outside of town or whatever, you might check with your title company and see if you're going to be able to get an extended policy, because most of the time they won't give them one. The other thing that comes up is, if you have something unusual, then you ought to tell your title company. In other words, you have a duty to inspect the property. Remember that? So let's say you're walking on this country property and you notice something unusual. Now, what would you see unusual? Like, for example, the most thing unusual, I think, relative to title issues is you go up to the back of the property and there's a fence there. And in the fence, there's a gate. Now, what does the gate imply? The gate implies someone has the right to come in and out that, and you notice at the back of the property, there's a dirt road back there. I would say that's a red flag that you better tell your title company about. I know up in Northern California here, we have a lot of dirt roads that are old logging easements that haven't been in place since the 1800s, and yet they're on title, and there are issues that you need to deal with. Another issue that title would want to know about up front would be if you have any water on your property. Is there a pond or a dam or a stream? You need to tell your title company about this, because I would be very surprised if they didn't want to send someone out and inspect that before they issued title insurance. My final point about title insurance is actually in the contract, and it says that the buyer needs to know that the title company can provide additional insurance coverage. The availability of certain kind of coverages are not typically done in residential properties, but they're available. You know, these are called endorsements. You know, you can get homeowner's insurance on your property, but you don't have to get earthquake insurance, but it's something that you can get and add it onto your policy. There are issues just like that in your title policy. So what I want you to do is to ask your title officer, what other coverages are available on this property, and make sure you tell my buyer about them in case they want them. And if they do want them, then the buyer has to pay for them.